one of our family doctors in Nashville. He always had a great line. Dr. Clay Ferguson was our doctor. He's a good friend of ours. And I would ask Clay about something, and he would always give the answer, "Oh, there's a pill for that." That was his common answer to everything. And you know, in the medical world and in the world today, that, you know, if you have high cholesterol, then there's a pill for that. If you need a blood thinner, there's a pill for that. If you want to try to lose weight, well, there's a pill for that. If you have a headache, there's a pill for that. If you have pain somewhere, there's a pill for that. And so just about everything that you have physically with your body, there's a pill for that. And they don't mind giving them to you either, do they? There's a pill for that. And so I was thinking along those lines. I was wondering, what about something there's not a pill for? What are you searching for that the world can't offer? And when you're searching for something that the world cannot offer, where do you find it? If you can't take a pill, I would say, "Dr. Ferguson, is there a happiness pill?" He said, "Oh yeah, I can give you a happy pill. But that happy pill will not give you joy. There's not a pill for that." And so this morning we're going to talk about and discuss in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, peace without a pill. How many of you in here would take peace this morning without a pill? We all would like it in our lives. Peace without a pill. You see, studies prove that many Americans admit that there is absolutely no peace in their lives. Experts tell us every day that our nation, every day, we swallow 8,000 pounds of aspirin. 9 tons of aspirin. I'm sorry. Of sleeping pills. We swallow 15 tons of aspirin. 30,000 pounds of aspirin every day. And then we add to that another hefty number of the more powerful medications or tranquilizers. And only our country has 4% of the world's population. 90% of the world's tranquilizers are taken in our country every single day. And even though we take all of these pills, 31,000, over almost 32,000 Americans last year decided that they had had more than they could handle. They had more than they could handle, and so they took their own life. You see, church, our world is looking for peace in all of the wrong places. They're looking through peace from the perfect home and the perfect family. They're looking for peace from the perfect church or the perfect preacher. They're looking for peace through money or jobs or things or stuff. They're looking in all the wrong places. And the Bible teaches there's only one place to look for this peace. And we are a nation that is in the continual search for peace. Earlier this week, I was interested in how much information there was on this thing called peace. So I Googled it. And for personal peace, there were 300,000 sites that came up when I typed in personal peace. Don't think for a second people are not on the search for peace in their life. Is it possible? Is it possible to enjoy real peace? Is it possible to enjoy something so everlasting called this peace? And if so, where can I find it? I want some of that. And I believe Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 is God's answer. I do not believe peace is in a pill. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, let's read this verse very slowly and very carefully. It says that you, maybe yours says thou, will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Read that silently to yourself. Read that verse again. You or thou will keep you in perfect peace. Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Those words are some of the most profound in all of literature. They're so simple. Let's don't make this too spiritual now. These words are so simple. simple, yet they're so very, very true. They're 2,700 years old or thereabout. They've been around a long time, yet millions and millions of people have experienced the reality of that verse. I would say some of you in here have experienced the reality of what that verse says and what it means. Now let's think together about a few things. And first, I want you to think about the keeper. The keeper. Notice the first three words of that verse. It says, "You will keep," or "Thou will keep." You see, that refers to no one else but Almighty God. Almighty God is the keeper. Now let's go a little farther and explore a couple of things about this Lord who is our keeper. One thing we know is that He is a personal keeper. Somebody a while ago when we were saying thanks in our prayer said He is a personal God. Well, He is a personal God and He is a personal keeper. How many of you have known someone that's had a personal nurse or a personal accountant or a personal trainer or a personal secretary or a personal bodyguard? When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you've invited Him into your life and He lives in your heart, at that point, you now have a personal peace keeper. That's what the Bible says. I was waiting in an office and I picked up a magazine. And I like to read, and the article was about how to release stress and gain peace in your life. And so I'm reading along, and here was the author's suggestion. Talk to your pet. I promise, that's what it said. Talk to your pet. Now the concept's right. We need to talk to somebody. But it's probably not your dog or your cat. It's probably your personal relationship with Jesus Christ because He is your personal peacekeeper. Another thing I know about this God is that He's a powerful keeper. I want you to notice the word keep in our verse this morning. In the original language, it means to guard. It's a military word, and it's used to describe a group of soldiers that are guarding a city. Listen, that's what the Almighty God does for you and for me. He guards us. He is guarding our peace. We don't grip or face or have the grip in our mind that God is guarding you. He is guarding. He is your guarding your peace. We hear on the news of the United Nations that send these peacekeeping forces everywhere. That's what God does for us. That's what God is doing for you. God is a peacekeeper in your life. You see, He personally and He powerfully comes to you and He enables you to experience peace without appeal. One of the greatest thieves of peace today is this thing called guilt. The devil uses it against us and he robs us of our peace. And as a pastor, I've had many, many, many people walk in and talk to me about how haunted their past are. I've had men and women tell me about illegal business deals, adultery, abortion. I've had serious errors in judgment, dishonest acts, drug addiction, tempers out of control, things that ruin people's relationships. And these dear people suffer every day from this guilt and they enjoy little or no peace. And I may be talking to somebody in here this morning that's under that umbrella this morning. And I want to encourage you. Words that I often hear from these people where I just can't get rid of it. I can't get free from this in my life. Listen, there is some good news. We can come to a personal and powerful God who has both a key that will open the chains of past guilt and a key that will open the door to future peace in your life. That is the God in which we serve. Let me take a page out of my ministry. We'll call this guy John. And John came to me a few years ago, and he made a very poor decision. As a matter of fact, John's choice was clearly against everything the Word of God teaches. And John admitted that. He admitted it. You see, John had done something that clearly God said not to do. And now he had no peace. And John was feeling rotten inside. And one day we were meeting in the office and we were talking about God as a cleaning agent. You know, God's that soap that cleans us up. He's a cleaning agent and He pours that upon us. And we were talking about that one day, and in that moment, the Lord dropped a verse on me. And it was Acts chapter 10, verse 15. And here's what it says. It says, "What God has declared clean, you must not declare dirty." Or maybe your Bible says, "You must not declare common." What God has declared clean, you must not declare dirty. Now think about that in our lives. God has forgiven you. You have repented from something. God has forgiven you. And yet it sticks with us. Even though God has declared it clean, it is removed from your life, we still want to claim it as dirty. And as I was talking to John, I explained that verse to him, and then we held hands and we prayed that he would experience the very power of the verse in Acts chapter 10. Experience that power. And I think if you talk to John today, from this moment, all the way back from that moment, a personal and powerful God has given him real peace in his life. And folks, if he'll do it for John, he'll do it for me and you. He'll do it for others. Second, let's think about the keeping. Now, notice in the verse it says, "You will keep," or "thou will keep," and then it says, "in perfect peace." What a promise that is. Let's think about the keeping. Let's go into a little deeper and see a couple of things. One thing the Bible promises is that you can experience constant peace. Constant peace. You see, every word in the Bible is from God. And this verse says that it will keep you in, notice that word in, I-N, in perfect peace. That means constant peace. It's like this. If you're in something, you're surrounded by it. You're surrounded by it. It's constant. You ask someone to come in your home out of the weather where it's 72 degrees, whether it's not too hot or too cold. We are in church this morning. We are surrounded by the walls of church and by the people that are here. When you are in something, you are surrounded by that. You are in the middle. And that's the peace that God gives. When we ask someone in our home out of the weather, it's constant. That is the peace that God gives. It works all the time. The peace works all the time, whether the situation's good or whether the situation's bad. I was reading about October 19th, 1987. Some of you will remember that very well. That is, the stock market took a nosedive over 500 points. Investors called it Black Monday. The market fell 22% that day. There were suicides that day. A jump alert was issued for the Golden Gate Bridge that day. A man in Florida walked into a stockbroker's office and he killed his financial advisor that day. There are some people who only have peace when all is well in their life. And I contrast that day with a few years later, back when the market crashed in 2008. And I was doing a missions banquet, and I was speaking at this missions banquet and had been scheduled for months in advance. And the purpose of it, obviously, was to raise money for missions. And after I spoke at a meeting, this man approached, and he had a large sum of money. And here's what he said to me. He said, "I lost a bundle of money today in the stock market, this month in the stock market. But this I know, I'll never lose what I give because I have peace through God in every situation." How true. That's the constant peace of God in which we're talking about this morning. God gives, another thing that God gives in this promise is that you can experience this complete peace. And God calls that peace perfect. If something is perfect, that means that nothing is missing. Karen is perfect. I needed to say that this morning. If there is something perfect, then nothing is missing. It means it is complete. And we all know how worry is a terrible peace robber. I love Paul Harvey. I still call up some of Paul Harvey's things and listen to Paul Harvey. I love what he said. And I was listening one day and he told of a man who was worried that he was looking old. Now I know no one in here is worried about that. But this gentleman was worried about he was looking old. And so he went to the doctor and he had braces put on his dentures. True story. Just so. Others would think he would look young. How silly is that, my friend? You see, the peace God gives works at all times, in all situations. I'm thinking of a man right now that was hit broadside in a car, 85 miles an hour, by a drunk driver, and he's rushed to the hospital, and he's hovering between life and death. And this man's a fine Christian man. And later he said, I laid in that emergency room, and I didn't know if I was going to live or die, but I had absolute peace from God. Hallelujah. No one can explain that. I think that's why the Bible says it, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's beyond our ability to figure out. But do not doubt for a moment that it's real. And it's among us. And this verse, it's not finished. Let's think about the last part, about the kept. The first two parts, the keeper and the keeping, those are totally God's parts. To be quite honest, you have nothing to do with those parts. But now we come to our part in the process where it's the kept. You see, God will give peace to the person, the Bible says, whose mind is stayed on you, on God. You see, God's Word is a life-changing book, amen? It's life-changing. Wake up. Everybody awake? God's Word is a life-changing book, amen? There we go. It's life-changing. How does that verse challenge us? It certainly urges us to be learning. Isaiah used this word mind. What is a mind for? A mind is to learn. And as you learn more about God's character, and as you learn more about God's love, and as you learn more about God's power, and as you learn more about God's faithfulness, then you'll trust Him more, and in turn, you will develop more peace. You will experience greater peace in your life. Back in 1852, our nation elected a new president named Franklin Pierce. He was the only president in our history who refused to lay his hand on the Bible as he took oath in office. And just a few weeks before the election, Mr. Pierce and his wife and his son were on a train ride, and there was a wreck, and his son was killed tragically in this train. And Pierce blamed God for that incident, and he refused to lay his hand on the Bible when he was sworn in. Now, some years later, Mr. Pierce admitted, here's what he said. He said, I was foolish. I've now learned that God does love me. I now trust Him. You see, he learned about God, and it was his path to peace. Isaiah 26:3 also urges us to be leaning. Look back at that verse. The Bible says, who leaned, who stayed. And that word stayed literally means to lean. So we actually could translate this verse, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is leaning on you. I've lost count of the people in my ministry through the years that have told me something along these lines. Something bad's happening in my life, and I spent all of my time trying to figure it out, and that made me more frustrated. And finally, I stopped trying to figure it out, and I just started trusting God, and I started praising God, and soon I began to experience peace. Hadn't we all done that? My friend, that's leaning on the Lord. That's leaning. That's staying on. William Randolph Hearst was a famous and wealthy newspaper publisher back in 1920s. And he loved art so much that he would send people to find all of these art pictures everywhere. So there were two men he sent to Europe to look for this specific painting that he had seen. He wanted it so bad. And these two men scoured all these European art galleries for 7 weeks looking for this painting, and finally they located it, and they wired Mr. Hirst with the information, and Mr. Hirst's reply was, "Where is the painting? I want the painting." And the man replied back, "Sir, the painting is in your warehouse in California. Mr. Hirst, you already own it." But listen, there are many Christians who are just like Mr. Hirst. We ask, "Where can I find peace?" And I'm going to say to you, Christian, you already own it. Where can I find it? You already own it. If you know Jesus and He lives in your heart, then you own peace. You can experience peace without appeal. And so this morning, many of you, some of you, all of us, we need to ask Christ to remind me of that peace today. And that may mean that I need to repent. That may mean that I need to turn away from. That may mean that I just need to let it go. And I need to say, "God, from right now, I am leaning on You for the peace in my life." Folks, you're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it at the job. You're not going to find it in money. You are only going to find it from God's Word and your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only place you will find it. And when you do, you will discover optimism. You will discover a refreshed confidence. You will discover a lasting peace that will absolutely carry you through any situation in life. One of my coaches, he was in my wedding. He meant that much to me. He's still a very close friend of mine named Johnny Wilson from Nashville, Arkansas. He coached me, but he did more than that. He helped raise me. You know those people I'm talking about in your life. And he was the next thing to God, I thought. But he was a great man, married to a great lady. And his son was out riding around looking at some deer plots a few years ago. And he was riding with another young man, and their Jeep overturned, and Coach Wilson's son was killed instantly. He was a senior in high school. He'd never see his son graduate. He died right there. And I was thinking about that because Karen and I have talked about this many times, how Johnny and Ruth handled that. And if you ask Coach Wilson today, "Coach Wilson, how did you handle that?" He said, "Only from the peace of God. I've never seen him mad. I've never seen him upset. I've never seen him shed a tear. All I've seen him do is praise God that they had their kid for 17 years. How does somebody do that? Only because they have peace from an almighty God. I was thinking this morning, and I'm going to close now, but turn over to John chapter 14. Turn over to John. I'll close with this. John chapter 14. Look at verse 27. This is Jesus talking. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, here's what the Bible says. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, I want you to notice something that popped out to me when I was reading this verse this week. Look at verse 27 again. It says, "Peace I leave with you." And then the next two words in that verse, they just caught me and shook me. Do you see what it says? Whose peace is it? Whose peace? It's God's peace. The Bible says, "My peace. Remember, it's Jesus speaking. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Whose peace? God's peace. Who's the originator of peace? Who is peace? Who is the Prince of Peace? It is Almighty God. So where does the peace come from? It comes from God. It's not self-made. It's all from God. And I know this morning there are some of you in here that are struggling in that world of peace. If you're in the world and you've got all of this stuff going on in the world, there's things in your life where you struggle with peace. I think it's human nature that we have to remind ourselves that God is the God of peace and that we already have peace. We just have to claim it. We have to claim the promise God's already given us, and sometimes we have to turn back and reclaim because we get bogged down. And maybe that's you this morning, and maybe you're just bogged down. And you want to reclaim what God has for you. And that's peace through all circumstances, through all situations. And if that's you this morning, and you feel convicted from that, then walk down this aisle, get on your knees and pray to God that you could claim that this morning, that you want to claim that. Don't let something in your life rob you of your peace. Pray it out of your life. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it in the prayer jug. Pray about it. Let others pray about it. Don't let something be a peace robber. Remember, God is a peace keeper. Whatever it is in your life this morning, don't leave here with no peace, because God is the grantor of peace. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have all you need. You just have to claim what He's given us. Father God, thank You this morning for Your Word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would find the peace in which You give. Father, that we would claim it and claim that promise in our life. Father, that we would remove, that You would remove any strongholds in our life, those things that cause us to lose our peace or to not find our peace in our families, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our jobs, in our finances, in our friends, all of those things, Lord, that cause heartache or we lose a little peace. Father, that we would claim Your promise that we find peace through You, that You've given it to us, that we understand it's Your peace and You've given it to Your children. Father, this morning, use this time to glorify You. We'll give You the praise and the honor. Would you stand with me this morning?